You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And sad to say, there will be no Fitzmagic in the air when the Dolphins take on the Bills in Sunday's season finale, with a source telling ESPN yesterday that quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick tested positive for COVID and will not be available for the game. The Dolphins can clinch a playoff spot with a win or a loss by either the Colts, Ravens, or the Browns. Rob Ninkovich back with us. And Ryan, I want to ask you whether you think that Tua is capable of leading the Dolphins to the playoffs on his own.
I do. I think, and don't get me wrong, I love Fitzmagic, and I love what Fitzpatrick was able to do in that game against the Las Vegas Raiders. Remember, he came in against Denver, almost did the same exact thing, throws an interception late in that game to Justin Simmons. And so we have kind of romanticized and fantasized a little bit about what Ryan Fitzpatrick truly is to this team. And in the games that he's inserted, not only is Tua kind of playing within himself or not playing well, but they're down. And they're down because they're playing a better team. Well, I expect Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs to be sitting next to me watching this game, or somewhere up in the suite, or maybe somewhere holding a tablet. I don't believe that those guys are going to play. And let's not forget, during the 6-2 run that they've been on with Tua Tagovailoa as the starting quarterback, he's taken not just the majority of the snaps, but over 85% of the snaps, over 90% of the snaps. And so, though we enjoy seeing Ryan Fitzpatrick come in the game and throw the football around and move this team in critical moments and have some fun, Tua Tagovailoa has been the quarterback of this team. He's been the starter. He's been the leader. And we have seen him play good football so impressively sometimes that we talk about him being the franchise guy of the future. We say that they got it right with this pick. And so to me, I think Tua has everything he needs in this situation. I think he's shown he's had this type of mettle before in college, and he'll show it again against a Buffalo Bills team that's already clinched their playoff position.
Yeah, I think that Tua, I'm not as bullish on Tua as you are, but I do still think that he wins this game because of the thing you said off the top. Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen and any of the players of consequence for the Bills shouldn't play any more than a quarter, a couple of drives, and be on the sideline. And also the coaching staff for the Bills, they should be focused on game planning for their potential opponents the following week. So I think that Tua, when they go out there and he's going to face some vanilla defenses, he's not going to face the top players, I think that he is good enough to win that situation. I also said before we found out this news about Fitzpatrick that I thought Fitzpatrick should start and play this game because I don't think it's even been close. I think Fitzpatrick has been a better quarterback this particular season. And I made the comment yesterday that I think that Fitzpatrick is high risk, high reward, and that Tua is a little bit low risk, low reward. I think I was wrong. I was right about Fitzpatrick, but I think Tua is a little bit more high risk, low reward. I was listening to, I think it was the Pro Football Focus podcast yesterday with Sam and Steve, and they were talking a bunch about the turnover-worthy plays. And that, like, prompted me to go back and look at Tua's games. And it's not about the amount of fumbles he has that he loses or the amount of interceptions that he throws, because that is luck. Whether the DBs can catch or whether the ball bounces to one of your linemen or bounces to one of their linemen. Like, that is luck. If you look at his turnover-worthy plays, it's up over 20. So he's been lucky this year. And I went back and watched so many of those games that I came away thinking, well, Tua's not that bad. He's not blowing it for you. Like, he's going to make a couple plays here and there. And then I saw that he was actually making some mistakes that weren't costing them nearly as much. And I hate that. It's not good. And Ryan Fitzpatrick will make those same plays. But Ryan Fitzpatrick has been making the high-end plays also that Tua hasn't necessarily been making consistently. But that doesn't change my feelings about this team. This team is still good. They're well-coached. They're headed in the right direction. And they're playing a Bills team that, frankly, could care less. Like, unless they're going out there trying to pass some stats or something or make some last push for MVP for Josh Allen. Like, other than that, those guys need to be out there just trying to make sure they don't get hurt. They need to be playing Pro Bowl football. That's what they should be playing. Just Pro Bowl football, focus on next week. So if the Dolphins can't win in that situation, they don't deserve to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, no, look, I agree. I think that the Dolphins would be a more dangerous team in the playoffs if they had Fitzpatrick as their quarterback. And look, the saying of no risk it, no biscuit, I'm saying Fitzpatrick takes risk. He's going to throw the football. In the game where he came into the Denver matchup, Tua had thrown for 83 yards passing. So you think about a quarterback, if you don't take risk and you don't throw the ball down the field because you're being conservative and you're young, you're a rookie, these are new things that you're seeing for the first time as a starting quarterback in the NFL. A rookie is at a disadvantage. And when you play against a rookie, what do? They make rookie mistakes. They don't take risks. They don't throw the ball in the coverage because they're afraid to turn the football over. So, yeah, he has 10 touchdown passes and 2 picks. I get it. But how many more throws downfield does he not complete because he doesn't want to take the risk of turning the football over? Right. And when Fitzpatrick's in the game, guess what? He's throwing the ball down the field, just like the Vegas game. He's taking risks. He's getting hit in the face, throwing the ball down the field, and helping the team win. So do I think Tua is the long-term solution for the Dolphins? Yeah, I think he's going to be a great quarterback. He's got to learn the position. He's going to be better. But without Fitzpatrick on the sideline, I feel when you watch them going to the sideline, Fitzpatrick sitting down, showing Tua some things on the tablet. He's showing him the coverages. He helps him during the game. So I think it's not going to help Tua in this matchup, but I still think the Bills are going to rest their players. Dolphins are probably going to win this game. But moving forward, I think Fitzpatrick gives them the best chance of winning in the playoffs.
Guys, you also got to realize this, right? Some of the conversation that goes on with these teams. When you're playing with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it might be no risk it, no biscuit, but we know that he could turn the football over even though he pushes it. When you're inserted, the conversation goes, okay, you're here to protect the ball. You're here to make quick decisions. You're here to make sure that this offense doesn't go wrong because of turnovers, because of bad decision-making, because we have a championship defense. Like that's the type of talk that you're given. It's kind of like when I used to go to the store with my mama. You don't want nothing in here. You can't have nothing in here. Don't touch nothing in here. And so then I was paralyzed by that. It was paralysis by analysis. Like, I would see that Snicker. I felt like we could afford that Snicker.
Don't touch
but
it.
I knew I couldn't
don't
ask for it. That Snicker. Right? And so I felt that's a little bit of how Tua Tagovailoa had to play. He tried to had to play close to the vest. Ryan Fitzpatrick is gone now. There is no getting replaced. We can see some of that Arizona Cardinals Tua Tagovailoa or some of that second half, fourth quarter Kansas City Chiefs Tua Tagovailoa. Come on, guys. You got to believe. It's 2021.
Right? No, you're right. You're right. You're right. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is that bad cousin who came over to visit and come with you to the store with your mama on that one day. And he going to grab that Snicker and he might put it in his
pocket. He'll get everybody whipped.
They might come and get him, or he might come and get him, or he might get out of there with that Snicker.
Or you might have a
but
Snicker.
You take that risk. You might have a Snicker at the end of the day. Ryan, that's why you bring Ryan Fitzpatrick around, because he might split that Snickers with you later, but he also might get y'all both whipped because are you stealing now? You get around your cousins and you think you something different. You stealing now? That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He got nothing to lose. This ain't his mama. He going back to his home in a little bit, and he knows that this ain't his team. They're not going to pay him. They're not going to keep him. He just out here trying to have a good time. He's an older guy, and he is moving on to a new team. Probably are out of the league. He just out here trying to make some memories, just have a good time. That's why it was so fitting that last one happened in Vegas. It was like that movie with all those old guys that went to Vegas. Yeah, they just start gambling. They just out there shooting dice, doing whatever. And he's in that position. He can do that. You're right. Tua don't have that same leniency for him, because right now he tried to convince you that you can trust him, convince you that you can leave him home alone when you got to go out of town. He's not going to burn the house down. Fitzpatrick going to have a party. Burn the whole house down and the police might show up. But you had a good time.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
That bad man Aaron Rodgers and the Pack head to Chicago to take on a Bears team that has everything on the line in this game. Although a source is telling ESPN that the Packers have lost one of the most important members of their high-powered offense. All-pro left tackle David Bakhtiari is believed to have suffered a season-ending knee injury in practice yesterday. So that's not great news. But Dom, I want you to complete this sentence. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers will struggle in the playoffs if...
Well, yeah, that Bakhtiari news is bad. But I think if you're focusing on Aaron Rodgers specifically, the pressure and not having Bakhtiari at left tackle, like that's going to impact how much pressure Aaron Rodgers is under. And Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. It's hard to find a weakness with him, especially how he's playing this year. But all quarterbacks get a little worse when it comes to pressure. But Aaron Rodgers seems to get quite a bit worse when it comes to pressure. So if you look at his QBR throughout the season, overall, he's number one in the league. You look at it against pressure, he drops down to 12, which is closer to middle of the pack. So if you control for all the quarterbacks, you put in all the plays that all the quarterbacks are in pressure, he's nowhere near the top of the league. He's still somebody who I trust because if you blitz him, which is different than pressure, if you blitz him and he sees it coming, he can pick you apart. He's really great against the blitz because he understands how to beat the blitz. But if you can pressure him, whether it's through a blitz that he doesn't see coming, a blitz that he doesn't expect, or pressure him just with four and potentially play some sort of zone in behind so there's not enough time to necessarily get rid of the ball quickly to your hot reads or to attack the defense downfield, that all quarterbacks obviously struggle against that, but that's the only way that you see Aaron Rodgers' numbers go down. And Patrick Mahomes, who we're not talking about right now, but if you look at his difference between pressure and not under pressure, a guy like that, a younger guy who seems to be a little bit more athletic and is a special player, it's not as big. So you can possibly get Aaron Rodgers to play like the 12th best quarterback in the league if you can get pressure on him. However, the challenge there is getting pressure on him without also leaving Adams lined up or one-on-one on the outside, because then he's going to crush you.
Yeah, you know, that's obviously the way you want to get to Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, Dom mentioned the Bakhtiari news, and you did as well, Charlie. Like, that's huge. We're talking about a left tackle that you can leave on an island. He's like having a great corner, and you kind of scheme away from a guy like David Bakhtiari. So having this situation also plays with the mind and the psyche of a quarterback. You know, Aaron Rodgers is a deep thinker, right? They did a piece on Aaron Rodgers here, and he was talking about certain things that happen with the planes and the missions in the sky and all these different things, all these different conspiracy theories. Well, when he doesn't have to think about that left tackle, when he doesn't have to think about the protection of his blind side, he could be a better quarterback. And so now he's going to have to worry about that. You may have to switch some things around if you're Matt LaFleur. But I think the other thing we have to note in playing the Packers is also their defense, right? What happens when the team comes to Green Bay and decides to run the football? What if it's Chris Carson or if it's Alvin Kamara or some of these teams who can run the football well? How does this defense hold up against them? Because we've seen when teams approach the Green Bay Packers with physicality, it changes who they are. Not only Aaron Rodgers on the offense, like Dom says, dropping to a middle of the pack quarterback, but when the physicality is implemented in games, whether it's the Minnesota Vikings and Dalvin Cook or the Indianapolis Colts and Jonathan Taylor in the second half of that game, or if you go early on to the season, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers putting pressure and playing man-to-man on the outside against Devontae Adams, we've seen physicality change who the Green Bay Packers were. And that's the way to beat this team. That's the way to attack this team. And Dom is right. Aaron Rodgers and the way that he's played this year, you're truly nitpicking if you want to critique an MVP caliber year by Aaron Rodgers. But that's what's going to happen in the playoffs. It takes one day. It takes 60 minutes. And if you aren't great in those 60 minutes, you lose. And the Green Bay Packers have to be aware of the rush, as Dom says. And they also have to be aware of the rush of the other team offensively, because I believe that's the way teams will try to attack them and beat them.
Yeah, you can't beat Aaron Rodgers just lining up and just playing a static defense. They're going to figure it out. You're going to have to change up the looks. You're going to have to get pressure on them. And to the point that I made a moment ago, I was just looking it up about Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has the second best QBR in the league. Aaron Rodgers has number one. You put pressure on Aaron Rodgers, he drops to a 32 QBR, which is two above the league average, makes him 12th in the league. Patrick Mahomes drops to 73. He's number one in the league. So I know we talk about this MVP or not conversation, but that is the difference in those two players. Aaron Rodgers can still win the MVP, but that is the difference in those two players because Patrick Mahomes is going to get them big plays whether you get pressure on him or not. He's going to break your back, and I'm not sure that Aaron Rodgers is capable of doing that reliably in this situation. And just another thing that since we're talking about those two quarterbacks that I always found incredibly interesting. Last year, before the Super Bowl, I wrote a piece about Patrick Mahomes' weaknesses. He doesn't have any, obviously, but I dug deep into his stats and found that he is actually below league average when it comes to QBR and against play action pass or in play action pass, which is crazy because everyone else gets better. And that was true of him last year.
Yeah.
That was true of him his entire NFL career. He was below average in QBR. And even all the way back to college, he was below average in QBR versus when he is doing play action passes. Has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I just think it's interesting. So y'all need to know it.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go. We start our commercial-free 30 minutes with a look at the NFC playoff picture, focusing on Los Angeles. The Rams don't have Jared Goff or Cooper Kupp against Arizona, but can clinch a playoff berth with a win against Arizona or a Bears loss. Rob Ninkovich back with us. And Rob, I hear you're bringing the heat. What do you got for these guys?
Well, sometimes when I'm on the television, I don't know what to do with my hands, so they get a little, it's a little confusing.
Right.
Do I bring them up? Do I bring them high or bring them a little closer?
Oh.
I mean, you also see the ring, the finger that the rings are on. That's just in case anyone wants to ask, you know, what.
Yeah.
Ring. Oh, my
but anyway.
Gosh.
Yeah, guys, don't act up here. Rob means business. All right, Dominic, let's get the debate going.
I know Arthur's got a pinky ring, but, you know.
Hey, man, it's all good, man. You get
Stop.
What you get,
Sorry, take the show Dominic, back. Are the Rams going to control their own destiny and beat Arizona?
Okay, no.
I think they do beat Arizona. Nobody asked you. They asked Dominique, ring hey. Man, chill out. Jeez.
Hey, relax. Why are you jumping on me?
All right,
man.
So
get that ACC ring out.
Oh, my God. I'm done with you. All right, the Rams will win. So I'm going to go out on a limb, even with Wofford, the quarterback, whoever they got playing quarterback with the beautiful hair in his picture that matches the Rams logo. That guy is not anything special necessarily, but he's an athletic guy from what I understand. And Sean McVay is an exceptional coach. And no disrespect to Jared Goff. I guess I can't. Yeah, you can't say no disrespect if you're calling it some criticism.
And then disrespect.
I don't want to be disrespectful, but but maybe it is a little bit of disrespect. Everyone has accepted that Jared Goff is kind of a product of the things around him, a product of Sean McVay's innovation, a product of that offensive line and that running game and those receivers. So not having Cooper Kupp is going to hurt. But I think that they can put together a reasonable facsimile of what that offense normally contributes and maybe even reach higher with the athleticism of Wolford behind Sean McVay's coaching. I can think they can put something reasonable together. And a hobbled Kyler Murray is going to have a hell of a time against Aaron Donald and Aaron Donald and Ramsey, Jalen Ramsey, and that Rams defense and Staley's design. I think that they're going to have a tough time, and the Rams are going to be able to put together enough points on the strength of the athleticism of their new quarterback to knock off the hobbled Kyler Murray and Arizona Cardinals.
But that's absolutely ridiculous. Like that's real. Like for us to start 2021 like this, and for us to end the first episode of First Take like this, I mean, that's ridiculous. No, that's Sean McVay been coaching the last 2 weeks. Sean McVay coached against the Jets, and I am a huge Sean McVay fan. Some of the best conversations I had in my career were going into his office on Monday morning in my last year and talking football. But when you look at this offense has gotten stale. Now, Cam Akers seems to be practicing, and he was the large reason why they beat the Arizona Cardinals a few weeks ago. But I feel like without Cooper Kupp, even if you have a guy who's
– Can I get a quick 20?
I'm listening.
Let me get a quick 20.
Absolutely.
Did you say – you said you went into Sean McVay's office and talked football? Why are you not a head coach in the NFL? I thought that was the only qualification you need. That's the same thing the Cardinals put on their press release when they hired Cliff Kingsbury. They was like, hey, Cliff Kingsbury, I know you were a failed college football coach, and I know that you stole the air raid from Mike Leach, but you know what? You met Sean McVay one time, so here you go, head coaching job. Sorry about that, RC. I think you wasted your time with me, that's all.
Let me have a chance. Let me get 20 real quick. When you look at the Cardinals, Kyler Murray, to me, he's coming off an injury. We saw when he had his shoulder injury, it took him about 3 weeks to bounce back from that and look normal. So now the one thing that he has that he needs are his legs to run and scramble and get out of trouble, because when he stands in the pocket and just throws, he can make a good throw every now and then, but he needs that dual threat to where defenses have trouble. And I can guarantee you the Rams, knowing that they're going to control their own destiny, the strength of the Rams is what? Their defensive front, Aaron Donald. He is going to take it on himself to make sure that the Cardinals do not go out there and throw the ball all over the field. Aaron Donald is the best defensive player in the NFL. And when he is motivated, he's unstoppable. So the Cardinals, they're going to try their best to stop Aaron Donald. But you don't stop Aaron Donald. You just try and limit the big plays that he can create. And then Jalen Ramsey, I love watching him. He's always tenacious. He's always getting after people. And he is the guy on defense, the glue that gets that whole team together. So I think that the Rams are going to go out there. They're going to win this game on defense because Kyler Murray is going to be limping around out there.
All right, gentlemen, let's take a look at the NFC least. It is do or die for the Washington football team. So let's start with Ryan. You think that Washington is going to beat Philly and make the playoffs?
Oh, shoot. You know, I've been trying to tell y'all this for probably the last half of this year. I don't know.
They don't care.
Like, you just never know what goes on with the NFC East. You don't know anything about these teams. I believe if Alex Smith is the quarterback, they have the best chance to win this week. I believe that's the way that this team plays better, under his leadership, under his inspiration, and also the way that he protects the football and allows guys like McKissick and Gibson to play in the backfield, where Gibson has been banged up in the last few weeks. It's about this defense, right? Does Chase Young and this defensive line dominate Jalen Hurts? When you go back to the last two games, he's been pressured 45 times and sacked 9 times. Against the Saints in week one, in the first week that he started, he wasn't sacked at all. He made quick decisions. He got outside of the pocket. He used his legs. We haven't seen those things the last 2 weeks. And so you combine that with the way that this team plays defense up front, some of the secondary players that they have that can make some plays on the outside, it looks like Washington should win. But that's the NFC East, right, y'all? You don't dang know. They might come into the game and totally blow it. And then we see the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs, and Jerry Jones is saying, I told you so. And so it looks like Washington should be the favorite, but these games have to be played, and this division is unpredictable.
Yeah, I've been asked this question like three times between Get Up and First Take the last couple days, and I feel like my answer changed every time because, like Ryan, I don't dang know. But I'm going to go with Washington right now because they have the only thing that I do know that I can rely on is a front four. So I can't rely on the Cowboys' offense. I can't rely on their defense. Even though their offense showed up lately and they've gotten a lot of turnovers in the past couple weeks, they're unreliable. Everyone knows that. And the same is true of the Eagles. They've been troubled with a bunch of injuries, but they also have been inconsistent. They've been better since they got Jalen Hurts, but he hasn't been consistent either. He had that one great week in week one, and then he had a good week, but a couple of losses. So I can't trust anything but Chase Young and those guys up front for Washington. So I'm just going to go with what I know and say that they're going to find a way to win because that defense is so special. And maybe Taylor Heineke or Alex Smith, I don't know, or maybe McLaurin, they'll put him at quarterback because he's their best receiver. Whoever they put at quarterback hopefully doesn't turn the ball over and can get them in field goal range or something, enough to get enough points to beat the Eagles and get into the playoffs. That's what I would trust. I live here in D.C. also, so maybe I'm a little biased by that.
Well, what they need to do, I think, is the NFC East, there should be a stamp on the championship T-shirts and hats that say null and void. And they should, no team from the NFC East should even get into the playoffs, because if you look at the team that does win the championship, they might have 6 or 7 wins. So you're going in, you're going to get into the playoff race with a 6-10 record or 7-9. Give me a break. They should let the Cardinals or the Rams, one of those teams that actually has some type of fight in them, that in a playoff game they could possibly come out with a victory. You think that the Cowboys
Yes. Rob, we saw the Seattle Seahawks win.
The question is, will Washington make the playoffs? We want to know who's going to win the NFC East, and you telling me that the Cardinals are going to win the NFC East. Come on, man. I understand that we make
anything
our own show.
Happen.
We have a little bit of fun, but you done just gone completely off the board.
I
thought you was
Rockets
a Belichick
team.
Guy. I thought you was disciplined. Look, I thought you follow rules.
It doesn't matter who the NFC East winner is, and I'll give you the Stone Cold. It doesn't matter The Rock. Sorry, that's The Rock. It doesn't matter. Whoever wins the NFC East, they get into a playoff game. What happens? It's like a tune-up for the other team.
Don't
like,
stop.
All right,
that is creepy.
Yeah, it is. Let's go out here and win this game. I mean, NFC East, okay. Because, look, they're not the Seattle. They don't have beast mode. Any of these teams don't have Lynch running in the backfield, okay? So they're not the Seahawks when they got in at what?
Hold on,
I think 8-8.
7-9. Now, everybody in the East stinks. Everybody in the East is absolutely awful. And we ask this question every week because we don't know. We know that it gives us good conversation. And, you know, he's talking about being, you know, Dom saying being reliable. We just don't dang know. They made Charlie ask us this just because it's her job. They don't even want to know. James doesn't want to know. Antoine doesn't want to know. We're just going to move on to the next topic.
You don't care.
All right, what's the next topic? Pass.
Rob, I like your idea. I think that we should petition for the NFC East null and void. Let's do it. I think it's a great idea. yeah. All right, guys, let's move on to the AFC. The Ravens are in second in the AFC North, heading into their matchup with the Bengals, but can make the playoffs with a win or a loss by either the Browns or the Colts. So, Dom, we know that Lamar Jackson can run, but is his arm going to be a limiting factor for the team?
Yeah, it's a tricky question because I think the answer is yes. This team is going to go as far as Lamar Jackson's arm can take them as long as Lamar Jackson is the quarterback there. But I think that's pretty damn far. Like, they were 14-2 last year, the MVP of the league. They got upset, but it wasn't because Lamar was awful. So, yeah, I think in this season and seasons going forward, and that's probably true of most quarterbacks or most teams, the team is going to go as far as the quarterback's arm can take them. I think Lamar is special because his arm doesn't have to be that great because everything else is built on his ability to run. So it feels like I'm taking a shot at Lamar by saying that they are limited by his arm, but if that limit is 14-2, number one in the AFC in league MVP, I think that's good enough to win a Super Bowl. And that's a good limit to have. There are lots of other teams who can't even dream about that as a possibility. I think that is a possibility as long as they have a good defense and as long as they have Lamar Jackson on offense. It matters less who they put around him because he is that special. So, yeah, his arm does limit them, but so does every other quarterback in this league.
Yeah, so and that's why I'm going to go a different way with it. No, it doesn't limit them. They just got to play a different way. You know, it's like if a guy is great in the post or if a guy can hit home runs, you build things around that. If they have a certain deficiency, and I don't necessarily know if we count Lamar's arm as such a deficiency as it is just not his legs, right? It's just not his athletic ability. And we heat and we critique so harshly about what he does as a passer. Listen, I'm a part of it too, right? I was a part of wanting to see him take the next step, not because I think that the way he plays football can't win you a Super Bowl or it can't win you games. My thought was, holy cow, if he starts to create plays outside the numbers, he's going to be absolutely unstoppable. It was more a want for me than a need. And I think they kind of got caught up in that at the beginning of the season, too. Greg Roman had this dude who could score you 28, 30 points a game, taking the ball to the hole and dunking, and he tried to make him Steph Curry to shoot three-pointers. That doesn't work. What you got to do is play to Lamar Jackson's strength. And when his defense is healthy, when these running backs are healthy, when you have the tight ends, whether it was Boyle who's hurt early on in the season or Mark Andrews to make the catches in between the numbers, this team is very difficult to beat. When you let Lamar be Lamar, when you let him be the best athlete on the field, and they don't need to get away from that. They need to continue to build their team around Lamar, what he does best. And because it's unfamiliar and we haven't seen it, doesn't mean that it can't work.
Lamar is Giannis in this scenario. I'm glad you brought up that basketball analogy because that's the same thing with Giannis. Everybody like, if he develop a three-point shot, he going to be unstoppable. You know what?
No,
people
still
not going to guard that. But anyway, Rob, just go ahead and let Lamar be MVP Lamar and get some people around him to compliment him. Sorry, Rob, go ahead.
No, that's what I was saying about just people around him complimenting him, because just like what RC is saying, you put the best team around the player and you try to make the best of his abilities win you football games. And when you have a quarterback like Lamar, when you're a defensive end or you're a linebacker, you have nightmares about trying to defend Lamar and the things that he can do outside of the pocket, his running ability. And I don't think his arm limits that team at all. I think that if they have a limited receiving core, or they don't have a guy that necessarily is a two tight end set, which they like to be in two tight ends, if they have two talented tight ends, that helps Lamar because he has two guys out there that runs that can run intermediate routes. He can make all those throws. We've seen him make all the throws. I don't think his arm limits them. I think that in this season, we've seen some of the limitations are the supporting cast around him with receivers, running backs. Yeah. And the year before that, he had a great running game. And what did he do? He was the MVP.
Right. I mean, he has accuracy issues. I think we would be lying to ourselves if we didn't say that was a thing that is true. He doesn't have any trouble reading. Like, he sits in the pocket. He doesn't have any trouble going through his progression. He sits in the pocket. He consistently makes the right decisions. He can make big plays with his arm. But he does have concerns with his accuracy here and there. But I don't think it's enough to be debilitating because he gives you that running threat where it's just like, we talk about no risk it, no biscuit. Lamar is the only quarterback in the league. I guess maybe you could throw Patrick Mahomes in there and Aaron Rodgers, where you get the biscuit without risking it. Like Lamar Jackson, you don't even have to put the ball in the air and he might go for 45 yards.
I like biscuits.
He just bring in biscuits.
I like
he bring
biscuits.
Them all the time. If you like biscuits, Lamar Jackson will bring them without risking it. That's what my mama biscuits from Martin. That's what Lamar Jackson brings you. He is a guy where you don't have to worry about an interception. If you need an 80-yard play, you might get one, and he don't even have to put the ball in the air.
Here's the other thing. The Bills had a quarterback who people thought was extremely inaccurate. You know what they did? They traded the form and got him Stephon Diggs, and now he's an MVP candidate this year because of his accuracy down the field. Surround Lamar with the right people, you'll get the best Lamar.
Well done.
All right, well, let's stay with the AFC, gentlemen. We're talking about the Titans. They can take the division this Sunday, but also the Texans, they have some hopes of dashing the Titans' playoff hopes. So, Dom, do you think that Mike Vrabel should get a pass if the Titans don't make the postseason?
No, we're not giving out passes. Like, I mean, you get criticized if you don't make the postseason. If you have a team that should make the postseason and you don't make it, like they won last year, we just started raving about how great Lamar is in the Ravens. They knocked them off last year. We were coming in thinking that this was a team that we should be considering, that we should consider a Super Bowl contender because of how they played last year. So I love Mike Vrabel. We go back quite some time, and Ryan does too. And I'm sure that Rob knows him because Rob knows all the Patriots. I love all the Patriots. And Vrabel is a great guy. I love him. He's a hell of a motivator.
Super dude.
A hell of a coach. But yep. You don't get no passes in this league. He's one of the most honest and trustworthy people I know. But that don't get you no pass. You win, you get a thumbs up, a pat on the back. You lose, you get criticism. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is.
No, absolutely. Look, this team, when they went on this stretch at the end of last season, once Ryan Tannehill was inserted, that was a huge thing for Mike Vrabel, right? You go away from Marcus Mariota, who was supposed to be the franchise guy. He was the number two overall draft pick. And you bring in this guy, Tannehill, who said himself he thought he was going to be a backup, that he didn't like not having opportunity to compete. And you give him $99 million because of how you finished last season. You extend Derrick Henry because of the way he finishes last season. And so you do that in hopes that that carries over to this year. And now you're in that same position with an opportunity to be up on the Kansas City Chiefs and win the football game. That's what you were playing for. And so to not get into the playoffs, that's inexcusable. That's not where the Tennessee Titans plan to be, especially when you start the season the way that they did. And so if they lose, it's not going to be, okay, let's throw away the organization. Let's get rid of Mike Vrabel. We got to start this thing all over again. But this will be on his resume. This will be a failure in the sense of what the Tennessee Titans were supposed to be this year. And that's on the head coach. And it starts with Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was 50. I played for the Patriots. Yeah. I know Vrabel, but he gets no pass. There's no passes here. I know you guys are going to, clown on me because I played for the Pats and I was, the guy that wore 50 after Vrabel. Yeah. I get it. But the NFL is a production league. NFL, we all know it's all about what you produce. And if you go out on the football field, you have a talented team. Like we talk about the Browns. And how, they're not able to get to the playoffs, but they're very talented. Of course, there's no passes. So Vrabel, he's a great coach. He's a great motivator of men. He's going to challenge people. He's going to call people out. He's going to get the best out of every player on that team. But guess what? If they don't make the playoffs, he's still going to be the coach. He's still going to be there. He's going to take some criticism for not making the playoffs. But I can guarantee in the offseason, it's going to be a long offseason for everybody on that roster because he's going to challenge every single person in that locker room. If you're going to be here, we need to be better than they were last year. They still have a chance to make the playoffs, but there's no passes here. There's no pass. No one gets a pass.
Can I say just one thing before we move on?
It depends on what it is.
Rob, is it okay? No, I'm just going to ask you a question. I was going to ask you a question, Rob. Is it okay if I call you Psych Vrabel? Is that all right? Because you kind of like Mike Vrabel, but psych!
So, oh, okay. Now we're hey. Now we're getting crazy on live TV.
Wow.
It's all good. It's all good. But hey.
Rob, hold up your hands again. Hold up your hands.
No, I'll send one of these. You can have one of these you can rent it for a couple weeks, and then I need it back. But,
don't let these guys push you around.
No, it's all good. It's two against
all right.
One.
Yeah, psych Vrabel. But you don't have to take it, psych.
That's true.
I was
okay. Well, let's talk about the Jets. let's talk about the Jets. They are not getting one of those things that you just saw on Rob's fingers this season. Not at all, by any stretch of the imagination. They're not even getting the number one pick in the 2021 draft. That essentially means they're saying goodbye to Trevor Lawrence. So Sam Darnold also saying this week that he wants to stay with the Jets, that probably coming off the news that they're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. So I want to know, Ryan, do you think that the Jets should stick with Darnold, or should they try and get another quarterback with their pick?
I think they should stick with Sam Darnold. You don't have to pick up his fifth-year option, but whether it's a new coach, which it should be, I don't believe Adam Gase is going to be the guy coaching next year. I think he should get an opportunity with Sam Darnold. You have to remember, he was the third overall pick. Sam Darnold, other than anybody but Trevor Lawrence in this class, was more highly touted and was more highly thought of than any of these guys. And so to think that you could go get some dude, or whether it's Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, whoever you may think should be the guy picked after Trevor Lawrence, you don't necessarily know that he comes in right away and he's better than Sam Darnold. Maybe somebody else can come in and get the best from him, get him to not turn the ball over, better decision making, because there are times where you see sparks, where you see some throws and some plays made by Sam Darnold that can't be made by many quarterbacks in the NFL. And if there's anything that we need to point to, we can go back to the Tennessee Titans. We could go back to Ryan Tannehill, a guy who had to accept the job as the backup quarterback with no chance to compete against Marcus Mariota in Tennessee. And now you see what he's become, a dude who, if you look at his stats over like the last 25 starts, is rivaling Patrick Mahomes. And so when you can do some of those things away from Adam Gase, maybe you get the same thing with Sam Darnold, but you don't have to pick up his option. You can pay him for next year. And then if you have to move on, you can make that decision. But in this draft, it looks like Trevor Lawrence and then everybody else. And I am still extremely high on Justin Fields. I've always been since I met him as a 17-year-old. But when you look at what this season has been for him, when you look at kind of the drop-off in his success, in his play, in his decision-making, I don't think you pick another guy and start over with him before trying one more year with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sounds good, but Sam Darnold's had three seasons. And I don't know, Josh Allen came on in his third season, which is rare. Like, it's rare that someone shows up in their third season. Normally, by the second season, you kind of know what you got. We've already had three seasons with Sam Darnold, and you're right. We keep seeing flashes. That's the problem. We only seeing flashes. So maybe you don't have to trade him, or you could trade him, but I don't think that you pass up an opportunity to draft a guy and find out what you have, because another point that you made is you don't have to pick up the fifth-year option. That's fine, but if you don't pick up the fifth-year option, you are going to have to pay him something. You're going to have to pay him like a starting quarterback if you expect him to be the starting quarterback, and I'm not sure that he is good enough to eat up that amount of your cap if the rest of your team is not ready. So you got to go. You could keep Sam Darnold, see how he turns out this season with a new coach, and maybe try to do the Patrick Mahomes sit out a year situation, or the same thing they're doing up there in Green Bay, and draft a rookie quarterback and let him sit behind a guy. But I think you're ruining, or you're missing an opportunity when you're this high in the draft, and maybe it's the Jets, so they'll be high in the draft again soon. But when you're this high in the draft and you have quarterbacks to
you're
be picked
high in the
up,
draft when
you kind of have
Sam.
To draft a quarterback if you. I understand that, and you missed. Like, it's kind of a lottery. You got to keep shooting. You got to keep taking them shots. You're telling them to pass up on another shot to get a franchise quarterback when it's clear that they don't have one there. And the last thing I wanted to say to Rob is I got the only championship ring that matters. Got to kiss up to my wife because I fell asleep before midnight last night.
Hey, that's good. Hey, I got one, too.
Wow. This one's the rubber one, though.
You know? But I got to make up for falling asleep last night at 9:30.
I was saying on Sam Darnold, I think they should keep him. He needs some stability at the coaching position. You know, he don't need a head coach coming around with the crazy eyes, you know, on his first interview.
Wow.
Looking like a crazy guy. But anyway, they need somebody in their offensive
line.
Get
him psych.
Give him some stability. Hey, I'm going to call you Psych Hairline. Because your hairline looks good, psych. But anyway,
keep Darnold,
give him another shot. Why not? He's still under contract. RC, I know you heard that one.
Wow. Rob, you are welcome anywhere with me. I love you.
Hey, we have now, listen, hey,
y'all don't really know me.
16 weeks
this season. My teammates know me. Y'all would know me if we hung out a little bit, but I'm kind of, you know.
Bro,
I'm
16 weeks. Well enough. I love it, Rob. You're welcome. Like this.
You're a little Beijing
Meek
in there.
He's totally out of character this morning. He's totally out of character this morning. I don't know if it's Charlie. I don't know if it's Dom. I don't know if it's 2021.
It's 2021. You know how they say new year, new me?
Hey, I stayed up last night.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So. Man. What are we talking about? Right, what are we doing for the rest of the show? We just going to argue about hairline? What's going on?
I think it's not a bad option. I mean, it's time to make some resolutions, guys. So whether it's about your hairline or sports, we'll do sports since it's first take. I want to know, gentlemen, what are your sports resolutions for 2021? Ryan.
You know what my sports resolution is? I just want Kyrie Irving to play basketball because I'm a huge Kyrie Irving fan. I think he is, along with Kobe Bryant and, you know, Kevin Durant, one of the most skilled basketball players to have ever walked this earth. And because he says some things sometimes or hasn't said some things sometimes, people tend to forget that. People tend to overlook that. And then the other day I was reading, or maybe, I think it was yesterday, that he paid off, like in December, he paid off 10 debts for college students at an HBCU. See, like, this is the type of news we need to hear about Kyrie Irving, the type of news of him and Kevin Durant being exceptional on the court in Brooklyn, of him and Kevin Durant having an opportunity to win the East this year, on the things that he is doing off the court to continue to build his community and continue to give back to the places he's come from. And I think sometimes when he talks or when he doesn't talk, we tend to forget the good he's doing, but how great of a basketball player he truly is. And I want that for Kyrie, not only the player, but for the person. I'm excited to see what this basketball season is, and most of that excitement is because he is teamed up with Kevin Durant. So let us see that, Kyrie. Let us talk about the things you do off the court as well, not what you're saying and not saying to the media.
I like Kyrie doing odd stuff personally. Please keep burning sage to cure arenas of whatever curses that are in there. I like him playing basketball, and I like him telling us that the earth is flat. We need characters. Like, we forget that this is all sports, is one big drama. We need characters in this drama. So I'm glad he can ball. But also, please hit us with your conspiracy theories every now and then. Most of them are pretty harmless. But my resolution, I'm going to steal from Dan Graziano when he was on Get Up a couple days, because I think it is right. He said that for the Bengals, they need to, every decision that anyone in the Bengals organization makes in this coming year, they should ask themselves this question before they make the decision. Does this protect Joe Burrow? If the answer is no, don't do it, no matter what it is. Like, am I going to wear these shoes today? Well, are these shoes going to help protect Joe Burrow? The answer is no, then you don't wear them. Every decision that you make top down in the organization, you should decide, or you should ask yourself before you make that decision, am I going to protect Joe Burrow? Because Joe Burrow showed us something that is rare. He showed us a guy that it seems like you can drop in a situation and everything around him gets better. There aren't a lot of those guys in the league. There's only a few of them in the league. You got one, and you tore up his ACL. I know it's random. It's not your fault necessarily. But going forward, you need to make
sure
that whatever decisions you make from here on out, what restaurant you go to, what players you draft, sign, coaches you bring in, no matter what, does it protect Joseph Burrow? If the answer is no, don't do it.
I'm gonna go with the Saints conquering the NFC Championship game because they seem to be close. We saw the Vikings game where they lost it at the end. We saw the no flag where they would have been in the Super Bowl, but then it was, you know, the Rams who made it into the Super Bowl. I want to see the Saints get over the hump, get to the Super Bowl, Drew Brees win the Super Bowl, have two on his resume, ride off into the sunset and run all his Jimmy John sandwich shops in New Orleans and do all that stuff that he wants to do in retirement. But go out, win a Super Bowl, and he's a Boilermaker, so boiler up, Drew Brees. It's a good school. You got to be really smart to go to Purdue. You go to Purdue.
I love Drew Brees. He's a great player. I would love to see him succeed. However, Drew Brees, his career is like that ketchup bottle that ain't got much left. We done turned it upside down. We put some water in it. We shook it up. It ain't much left. So if they do it, it's going to have to be with some other condiments.
Yeah, hey, he definitely needs some stimulus in his condiment bottle, for sure. It's about done.
Hey, I think 2021 started off with a great start. We had fun. I got roasted. It was great. I had a great time.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.